Amen. Thank you. That's a beautiful song. Sing hallelujah. Amen. And we have a great opportunity to adore him, worship him, especially around this time of year. I love Christmas. Of course, I love, it just seems like people decorate more, put up lights and things like this. And it just brings a beauty, you know, that just kind of normally isn't there. Especially here in Ohio, and I would say some of the northern states where, you know, around the wintertime, it can get kind of gloomy, get kind of overcast and gray, and everything seems dead. And then around Christmas time, all the lights come up, and it just brings a joy to the atmosphere and things. And so I love Christmas, look forward to it, but not just for the lights and for the presents and gifts and things like that and the beauty of it, but for what it represents. And whether the world recognizes it or not, it's all about Jesus Christ. And they can try to take Christ out of it, and they can try to not really think about it, but it doesn't really matter what the world does. Christmas is still about Jesus Christ. Always has been, always will be. And so thankful for what the Lord has done. If you have your Bibles, open it up to the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to read the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And I want to encourage you, some of you could probably quote it, right? You've probably, you know, maybe you were in a play or something at Christmas time and you had to memorize it or whatever, but you could probably quote it. But I want to have us read it together this morning. And I know it's a little bit longer passage than we would normally read together, but I think we're familiar enough with this passage that we could read it together. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be up on the screen. But we're going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, right? Let's read it together. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, even though maybe a passage of scripture might be a little more familiar to us, maybe we focus on it every year. Lord, I pray you'd help us never to get over this passage of scripture. Help it never to just become so familiar to us that we don't really even think and look at what it's saying. So, Father, I pray that you would just work in the service this morning in hearts and lives as only you can. And Lord, may you be glorified this morning. Lord, may we look to you and give you the glory for all that you have done for us. And Lord, we do pray if there might be someone here today that may not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They don't really understand that Christmas is about what you have done. Lord, I pray that you would speak to their heart this morning, maybe in person, maybe through the live stream. Lord, just work in their heart and draw them to yourself. We thank you for your love, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of you tried to do the whole verses 1 through 20 without looking? Anybody? I was going to see if anybody was going to try to do it from memory, you know. Nobody was brave enough. All right. I was going to have you come up here and do it in front of us if you could. No, just kidding. Wouldn't do that, right? This is what we call the Christmas passage, or this is referring to the nativity, the birth of Jesus Christ. And of course, I think we're all, I would hope that we're all familiar with this passage of Scripture or the Christmas story where Joseph and Mary, Joseph has to go to Bethlehem even though he's in Nazareth because of this this taxing that was taking place. And so they travel to Nazareth from Bethlehem. And of course, as they get there, Mary brings forth this child called Jesus. Of course, we know this child was not Joseph's child. God was very specific to Mary earlier in chapter 1 that this child would be the Son of God. This child would be conceived of the Holy Ghost and would not be Joseph's son, even though Joseph would be the human father that God would use to have him raise Jesus in his home. And of course, we know the passage here where the shepherds are in the fields and the angels come to them and tell them about the birth of Jesus Christ. But in this passage, in Luke chapter 2, we find the first Christmas message. And the first Christmas message was not preached by prophets. It was not preached by apostles. It was not preached by preachers. The first Christmas message was given by the angels. The message was short. It was heaven sent. God was the one that told them what to say. But it was eternally significant. In one sentence, this message is given. In fact, this message contains 14 words. No, I am not going to preach just 14 words this morning. I know some of you, it'll be like, well, if the angels can do it, you can do it. Yeah, they're just better than me, I guess, right? But it's interesting, and I'm not trying to put numbers and things like this, but this 14-word message is found in verse number 14. In verse number 14, it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This message, yes, eternally significant, but in one sentence, they reveal the purpose of Christ's coming. The angel had already said that this child would be the Savior, Christ the Lord. But here we see the purpose of Christ's coming and the direction of true worship and the hope that can be found even in a broken world through Jesus Christ. Just 14 words shows us that Christmas is not primarily about sentiment. It's about God's glory, God's peace, God's pleasure toward mankind. I want you to think about this message that the angels gave. And of course, we find here in these shepherds were keeping watch over the flock by night, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord came upon them. So there's just one angel here at the beginning, and this one angel tells them, he says, and of course, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And I guarantee if I would have been one of those shepherds that night and an angel appeared right there, I think I would definitely have been afraid too. I don't know what I would have said. I don't know what I have done, but I guarantee you I would be afraid. And so the angel says, "Fear not." And then he explains what he's there for. He says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then he tells them where to find this baby. And he says, "This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And of course, we saw that a little bit later as the shepherds run to Bethlehem and they find Mary and Joseph and they find baby Jesus lying in a manger. But in verse 13, it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. So if one angel would have scared you to death, imagine a whole multitude of angels, of heavenly hosts, right? And they're praising God. And notice saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The Christmas message, the first Christmas message, we find several things. Notice, first of all, the purpose of Christmas. The purpose of Christmas is not about presents. It's not about Christmas trees. It's not about lights. It's not about food. It's not about football. It's not about any of those things, although all those things are great. It's always fun to have a part in those things and get together with family and have food and you know, do all those things. But the first message of Christmas shows us the purpose of it. Notice the very first thing this multitude of angels say together, glory to God in the highest. You sang it this morning, in excelsis Deo, means gloria, in excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. Maybe you didn't know you were singing that this morning. You were singing Latin, right? Now you can go out and say, hey, I spoke in tongues at first. No, I'm just kidding, don't do that. All right. At least you have the interpretation for it, right? Gloria, in excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. Think about it, glory to God in the highest. The angels begin where all true theology begins, with God. Christmas is not about us. We make it about us, but it's not about us. Christmas is about God. The purpose of Christmas begins with God. Christmas is not about even peace on earth. It's about God's glory. The incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ, was designed to elevate man, to exalt God, so that we could truly exalt him and to worship him and to glorify him the way that God deserves to be glorified. Can I say this morning, there's a lot of people trying to glorify God in their own ways. God does not accept glory in our ways. He accepts it in the way that he says it must be done. That's the only way we can truly glorify God. Think about the incarnation. Jesus Christ came to reveal the glory of God. Jesus Christ came to reveal God's glory to us. Hold your place here in the book of Luke. Just turn over just a little bit to the book of John. In John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Of course, we know that in John chapter 1, the word that it is speaking of here, in the beginning was the word. The word is referring to Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. But notice verse number 14 says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the incarnation. That's Jesus Christ being born. And we beheld, notice these next two words, what? His glory. Not our glory, not the glory of man, but we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus Christ came to reveal God's glory to us so that when we look at Jesus Christ, we can see God. We can see God. We can see who God is, because we can read about God, but now Jesus Christ, God in human form, came to this earth so that we could see who he was. We could see his glory. In fact, Jesus lived for the glory of God. All throughout, all that he did throughout his ministry, he did for God's glory. He did so that the glory would be given back to God. And everything that we do in this life ought to be done to give glory back to God. In fact, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again for the glory of God. You see, everything about Christmas, when we think about what true Christmas really is, it's about the glory of God. And this is why the angels, multitudes of them, were saying, glory to God in the highest. You see, if Christmas does not lead us to worship, then we have really missed the meaning of Christmas. If all Christmas is just another holiday, if all Christmas is just a time to get together with family, if all it is just about food and gifts and giving of gifts and parties and things like that, if that's all that it is, then we have completely missed out on what Christmas is. That's why I love Christmas, because the focus, as a Christian, could I say the focus all year should be about Jesus Christ. All year, our focus should be on Jesus Christ. It should be on God. But for whatever reason, Christmas really helps to kind of bring that into focus. It just kind of narrows it down and say, hey, this time of year is just about one thing. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about God. And yet sometimes even for Christians, we can lose that, because we get so focused on everything that the world tries to tell us Christmas is about. And it ought to be about Him. Our celebration should point upward to God before it spreads outward to others. Can I ask you this morning, have you taken some time? I mean, again, Christmas, we're just talking Christmas, just a few days away. But have you taken time this Christmas season to truly glorify God? Oh, we take time to wrap the presents. We take time to go shopping or to check Amazon or, you know, whatever we get our presents from. We take time to do that. We take time for the parties. We take time for all these different things. But when have we actually stopped and gave God the glory for who He is and what He has done? You see, if we're not careful, we can get so wrapped up in the busyness of this season that we forget what the purpose really is. Glory to God in the highest. Are we bringing Him glory? Are we glorifying Him and how we're living our life? You notice that the shepherds did not stay in the field debating the theology of, you know, were these angels, you know, whatever. They didn't stay in the field. What did they do? They went to see, and then they returned. And notice what it says that they did there in Luke chapter 2. And they heard all that the angels said. Or the angels said, they went and they saw the baby in the manger. They heard all these things that says, and the shepherds returned in verse number 20, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Man, after the shepherds went and they saw exactly what the angel had said, they saw, they found Mary and Joseph, they found this baby and they recognized who this baby was, and they went out telling everybody else. They went throughout Bethlehem telling people. Notice, didn't seem like a whole lot of people listened, did it? You know, it's interesting. We're not given an account of anybody else other than shepherds showing up that night. Nobody else from Bethlehem. Again, they went. Notice what the shepherds did. And they, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they went out through Bethlehem. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Well, they said, wow, that's amazing. But nobody actually went to check to see if it was true. Nobody actually went to see if this baby was really there. But the shepherd said, you know what? It doesn't matter if anybody else believes us or not. We're just going to praise God. We're going to glorify God. It doesn't matter if anybody else comes. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. We know what we have seen. We know what we have heard. And we're going to glorify and praise God no matter what. You know, so often we let the world convince us that it's not right to glorify God. You know, it's not right. You know, you shouldn't talk about Jesus. You shouldn't talk about Christmas time. You know, let people just do what they want with Christmas. You don't have to take Christmas and use it to talk about Jesus or anything like that. No, that's exactly what it's about. That's exactly what it should be about. And yes, friends, may I say, not everybody's going to listen, just like they didn't listen to the shepherds. But if we truly want to glorify God in this Christmas time, we ought to do exactly what the shepherds did. We ought to be telling people about what Christmas is. We have something to glorify Him in if we've been saved. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I say you have something to glorify Him about? Let me say that again. If you have been saved and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have something to glorify Him about. If you don't, you'll say, well, I'm saved, but I don't have anything to glorify about, then you don't understand what salvation is. You don't understand what Jesus Christ did for us. There ought to be a joy when we sing about the birth of Jesus Christ, when we sing about glorifying God in the highest. There ought to be a joy. There ought to be something special that comes and says, hey, I know what this is about because Jesus came for me and he offered me eternal life. He offers me salvation. This wasn't just for the shepherds. No, remember, what did the angel say? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior for who? The whole world. For every person. Just as the shepherds went and testified, so we should testify of the glory of God. But notice, not only do we find the purpose, notice secondly, there's the promise of Christmas. Notice, they said, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. Here's the promise. It's peace. The world longs for peace. But here's the problem. It doesn't understand where peace comes from. The world thinks peace comes when there's just a lack of problems. The world thinks peace comes when everybody's happy. The world thinks peace comes when I get what I want and I have the right job and I have the right house and I have the right car and I have the right, you know, that's when I'll have peace. Now, friend, you're looking at peace in the wrong places and you'll never find it there. You're never going to find peace in those things. Well, you know, when my bank account reaches a certain amount, no, you're not going to find peace there either. You see, we're looking in all the wrong places. This is not a promise, may I say, of political peace. It's not a promise of global harmony and that everybody's just going to get along. No, again, think about what's happening during this time. This angel, the angels say, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. Understand the time period here. The time period that's taking place, they were under the Roman Empire. You know what's really interesting? The Roman Empire proclaimed Pax Romana. You know what that means? It's more Latin for you, right? Trying to teach you Latin here this morning, right? It means the peace of Rome. Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. Let me ask you a question, right? How did Rome bring peace? Go back and study history. You know how they brought peace? With a sword. That's how they brought peace. You either submit or you're dead. Friend, that's not peace, right? And that's why Israel, that's why many of the countries that were under Roman authority, they didn't have peace. There was no peace there because they knew if they did anything wrong, man, Rome's gonna take us out. Yet Rome claimed peace, but it was a peace enforced by sword, by crucifixion, by oppression. Rome was still in power. By the way, not only was Rome an issue, Herod was an issue. Herod the Great. The Herod, the one that even after Jesus is born and the wise men come later on and they say, hey, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And they come to Herod in Jerusalem and Herod says, hey, I'm not sure about this other king. Who's this other king? And he goes to the scribes and the religious leaders and say, hey, where is this king supposed to be born? They say, well, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. And they send the wise men, hey, when you go find him, come back and tell me so I can worship him. Yeah, there was no worship going to be involved. In fact, that's why when Herod finds out that the wise men left in the night and they didn't come back, you know what Herod does? He sends his soldiers to go and kill all the babies, 2 years and under. That sounds like peace, doesn't it? Herod was a wicked man. And yet he was the king of Israel this time. You had Rome who was saying, hey, we have peace. And Herod, he's saying, hey, I want to worship. No, he didn't. You had Herod. Conflict still existed, and yet the angel says peace on earth. And on earth, peace. How could there be peace in this midst of Roman oppression? How could there be peace in the midst of Herod? And Herod was a brutal man. Many people were murdered because of who he was and his fear of somebody taking over his power. But the angels announce peace, but not, again, not a political peace, not a this global peace. It's a different peace, not a peace through force, but a peace through reconciliation. The peace announced here is a peace with God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Not a peace with mankind, it's a peace with God. And this peace does not begin in the government. This peace does not come from social programs. It begins in the heart. Friend, do you understand? The Bible tells us very clearly that we are born the enemies of God. We are born as God's enemies because of our sin. Look, every single one of us, if you're here this morning, if you're listening via live stream, doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter what background you are from, every single one of us is born a sinner and an enemy of God. Our sin is what separates us from God. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis where God created Adam and Eve and he put them in a garden and they had no sin. There was innocence. And God said, I've only got one law for you. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You can eat of all the other trees. You can eat anything else that's here. Just do not eat of that one tree. One law, that was it. They obey? No, they chose to disobey. They chose to eat of that tree. Because of that, sin entered into the world. That's why we are separated from God, because we chose to sin against God. And now every single person that is born, it doesn't matter. You say, well, I was born in a Christian home. It doesn't matter. You're still born a sinner separated from God. You say, well, I was born in a really good family and my parents have education and I've got a really good family. It doesn't matter. You're born a sinner separated from God. Doesn't matter what background you come from. Doesn't matter what your parents are. My dad was a preacher. My parents were Christians. Guess what? I was born a sinner separated from God, just like everybody else. The Bible says we are enemies of God because of our sin. Because of our sin as an enemy of God, there cannot be peace with God. And this is why God sent his son, Jesus Christ, not just to save us from our sin, but to bring peace with God. The only way we can have peace with God is if our sin is paid for by someone who has the right and the authority to pay for that sin. And friend, you and I don't. We can't pay for our sin. You say, well, I go to church a lot. That's great. That's great. I'm glad you go to church a lot, but going to church isn't going to take away your sin. You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. I've done a lot of good things. And so I'm just hoping when I get to heaven, you know, God's going to look at all the good things that I've done. And I know there's some bad things, but I'm hoping that God will see that there's more good things than bad things that I've done. Friend, it doesn't work that way. If it worked that way, or if it worked by you doing something religious, going to church or getting baptized, if it worked that way, there would be no Christmas. You understand what I'm saying? If there's something that you and I can do to save ourselves, there'd be no reason for Jesus to come. There'd be no reason for God to send his son. There'd be no reason for God to send these angels and say, hey, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, because you can already figure that out yourself. I don't need to announce it to you. You can figure it out. Well, I got baptized, so I've got peace with God. Oh, I went to church, so I've got peace with God. Why would Jesus need to come? Yeah, friend, do you understand? I'm not trying to be sacrilegious or anything here, but do you understand how foolish it would be for God to send his son to be born, to live, to die on the cross, to be buried and rise again if you and I have already figured out how to be saved? You understand how foolish that would have been? But can I tell you something? God's not a fool. And God knows there's nothing that you and I can do to make our own peace with God. And that's why he had to send his son. That's why Jesus is born. That's the Christmas message. The purpose of Christmas is to glorify God. And one way that God gets the glory is when there is peace on earth between God and man. And the only way that can happen is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one that can bring that peace. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse number 20, it says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross." You understand that means there's no other way to make peace with God than through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. The only way that you and I can ever have that peace is through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. That's it. There's no other way. And here's the most amazing thing about it. Peace with God leads to the peace of God. When I am at peace with God, and by the way, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, not by what you do, not by baptism, not by going to church, not by keeping the Ten Commandments, but by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God says there's only one way we can have peace, and that's through Jesus Christ. And when we do have peace with God, we can also have the peace of God. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Friend, do you understand that when you have peace with God, even in the midst of a tumultuous world, in the midst of wickedness, in the midst of all kinds of things going wrong, you can still have peace. You can still have peace. Even though you look around, you say, hey, the world is just, everything's going wrong and there's nothing going right. If you have peace with God, you can have the peace of God. That even when everything else is going wrong, we know that God is still in control. We know that God is still in control. And he says, the peace of God shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. Look, we don't have to be worried about what's going on in the world today. Look, man, the stock market's gonna go up and down. The government's gonna go this way. It's gonna go that way. The world's gonna go up and down and all over the place. You know what? But you know what? God is consistent. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because we know he is in control, and because we have peace with God, we can have the peace of God here on this earth. When everything else seems to be messed up, we can still have peace. Friend, can I ask you, are you searching for peace? You look around at what the world has to offer, and you're like, it just doesn't seem like there's any peace. Friend, you're looking at the wrong peace. The most important peace that you can have today is peace with God. And the only way you can have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. It's not through a church. It's not through some religious ritual. It's not by being a good person, because none of those things can bring us peace with God. Why was that baby born almost 2,000 years ago? Why did the shepherds go and see this baby? There have been babies born before in Bethlehem. Why did they go to see this baby? Because this baby was different. This baby was a baby that would bring peace with God and man. No one else can do that. Jesus Christ is the only one. In fact, Isaiah calls him the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. And we can have peace not only with God, but the peace of God when we put our faith and trust in him. You see, there can be no lasting peace until there is peace within us. And there can be no peace within us until there is the peace of God. Peace with God through Jesus Christ. May I say there's one other reason, one other thing we find in the message of Christmas. Not only do we find the purpose of Christmas, and that is to bring glory to God. Not only do we find the promise of Christmas, and that is peace on earth. And friend, you can have peace today. It's a promise. You can have peace today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't have peace with God, if you're still that enemy of God because of your sin, let me tell you some great news. God promised you could have peace with him today. You can. You say, well, what do I have to do? Do I have to be a member of your church? No. Do I have to get baptized? No. Do I have to be a good person? No. Do I have to keep the Ten Commandments? No. So, well, what do I have to do? It's very simple. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And friend, if you're willing to repent of your sin, recognize you're a sinner, and realize that you cannot save yourself, but Jesus Christ is the only one who can. And if you will put your faith in him to save you, you can be saved today. You can have peace with God. It's a promise. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, but notice the third thing. Notice we see the passion of Christmas. Goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men. Can I tell you this morning, the peace of Christmas is not automatic. Just because you celebrate Christmas doesn't mean you have peace with God. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you have peace with God. Just because maybe your parents go to church or your grandparents go to church doesn't mean you have peace with God. The peace of Christmas, the peace with God, is only received by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And here is God's goodwill. It is not earned by human effort, but it is granted through Jesus Christ alone. And here's what's amazing. God's desire is that all men would be saved. You understand? God's desire is that all men, every person, would be saved. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. God wants every single person to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. God wants every single person to have peace. And so God sent his son. But friend, can I tell you something? God cannot force you to receive his son. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But here's what's so amazing about it. Around Christmas time, there's a lot of wrapping paper being sold, a lot of bows being sold. Why? Because there's a lot of gifts being given. Maybe you're expecting a gift for Christmas, maybe from a loved one, maybe from a mom or dad or brother or sister or grandma, or grandpa or somebody like that, but you're expecting something. And somebody has taken the time to purchase that gift for you. And somebody's taken the time to purchase some beautiful wrapping paper and they wrap it up and maybe they even put a bow on it. And they get one of those little stickers that says to, from, and they write to and they put your name right on there. From maybe mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or whoever it might be, maybe from your husband, maybe from your wife. But the most important thing that's on there is the word to. Who is this gift to? Who's this gift for? And you see your name. You get ready to get those gifts out from under the Christmas tree or whatever tradition that you do, and you start pulling those gifts out. Everybody's saying, who's it for? Who's it for? And whoever is pulling them out will look at the gift and they'll look to, and then there's a name after it. Oh, that's for me. It's got my name on it. That's for me. And they hand that gift to you and you set it down and you set it right next to you. Maybe your family tradition is you get all the presents together and then you just rip them open, right? I don't know. Maybe it is you get all the presents and you go one by one around the room and you're like, hurry up, I wanna get back to mine, you know? I don't know what your family tradition is, but you know those gifts right there have your name on them and you can't wait to open them. Well, let me ask you this. What if you see that gift that's been beautifully wrapped, it's been purchased by someone who loves you, and it's got your name right next to that word too, your name, and you set it down and you leave it there. And you just walk away. You never take time to open it. You never take time to do anything with it. You just leave it there. Oh, it's for you. Your name's on it. And it's been purchased, it's been beautifully wrapped, and it's got your name right on there. But here's the thing, friend. If you don't take it and open it, it never becomes yours. It's for you. But until you take it yourself and receive it as your own, it never becomes yours. Friend, can I tell you, God's goodwill to man is that he has provided salvation that is sufficient for every single person that has ever lived. Every person living today, God's salvation is enough. And God has purchased the greatest gift through his son, Jesus Christ. That gift is called eternal life. It can only be purchased by a perfect sacrifice. And Jesus Christ purchased it with his blood on the cross. And now he offers it to you freely. This gift of eternal life has the little sticker on it that says two. It's got your name right there. Your name is on it right there. God says it's for you. Well, who's it from? Who's the person that loved me enough to purchase this gift and offer it to me? God. Friend, do you understand? This is from God himself. God has this gift for you. But he's not going to force you to take it. Just like those gifts around that tree or in your house, no one can force you to take them. You have to make a choice. I don't know about you, but whenever I see a gift that has my name on it, I get excited. I do. When I see a gift that's got that little sticker on it, it says to Andrew. Or if it's from my kids, it says to Dad. I get excited. And if we're doing this year and it's like, all right, everybody's taking turns, I'm the one saying, hurry up. Get back to me. I want to open my presents because they're for me. I want to see what's inside. I want to open it. It's mine. I want it. Wouldn't it be great if there was someone here today that had never accepted Jesus Christ? You've never accepted that gift of eternal life. Friend, you understand you can be that excited about it. That gift is for you and he wants you to have it. But he's not gonna force you to. This goodwill is for all mankind. Salvation is sufficient. It's enough for everyone. It's not just for a certain class of people. It's not just for a certain nationality or for a certain language group. No, it is for everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's passion is that all men would be saved. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. God wants you to know that you can be saved. God wants you to know that you can have peace with God if you're willing to put your faith and trust in him. If you're willing to recognize that that gift of eternal life, there's nothing you can do to earn it. And you can't pay for it. Jesus Christ has already taken care of it. All you have to do is receive it. And friend, when you receive it, can I tell you this? It brings glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace with God. Goodwill toward men. He wants every person to know him. And if you don't, you can know him today. Father, I pray you'd work in our hearts this morning. Lord, as we see, Christmas declares that God is not distant from us. He's not indifferent toward us. In fact, he has moved toward us in love. The question about Christmas should not be, do I feel festive and am I enjoying the season? No, the question should be, do I know the Prince of Peace? Have I received that gift of eternal life? In one verse, Lord. The angels have given us the gospel. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about, just for a moment. Friend, could I ask you here this morning, are you absolutely sure that you have peace with God? Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure. You know, I've tried to do some religious things and I've tried to be a good person, but I don't know if I have peace with God. I don't know if I've ever accepted that gift of eternal life that you said that God is offering. I don't know if I've ever received it. Friend, if that's you this morning, can I tell you that God wants you to know that you can have peace with him. And you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure. I'm going to be honest. I'm not sure if I have peace with God. I'm not sure if I've ever accepted that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. I'm just not sure. Friend, if that's you this morning, I want to pray for you. My prayer cannot save you, but I want to pray that God would work in your heart. And if that's you this morning, would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Nobody's going to come to you. I'm not going to call you out, but just slip your hand up with mine. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I've ever accepted that gift. I'm not sure if I have peace with God. Just slip it up, put it right back down. Nobody else is looking about. Just slip it up and put it right back down. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Friend, if that's you, in just a moment, we're going to stand, not right now, but in just a moment, we're going to stand and the piano is going to begin to play. As the piano begins to play, we're going to stand in just a moment. Our heads are going to be bowed. Our eyes are going to be closed. But if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm just not sure, but I would like to know how I can have peace with God. I want to know how I can have that gift that God has for me. As we stand in just a moment and the piano begins to play, I'm going to ask you to just step out from where you are and come meet me right down here in front. Everybody else's heads are going to be bowed. Everybody else's eyes are going to be closed. But if you would just step out from where you are, come meet me right down here in front. I want somebody to talk with you. I'm going to have a man, if you're a man, talk with you. I'm going to have a lady, if you're a lady, talk with you. And they're going to take the Bible, God's word, and show you how you can have peace with God. Christian, if you're here this morning, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Are we glorifying him in how we live our life? Are we testifying to others that they can have the gift of eternal life as well? Or have we just kind of kept it to ourselves? The shepherds went out telling everyone they could, glorifying and praising God. Let's not let Christmas just become another holiday. Let's make it what it's really about, glorifying God and telling others about what Jesus Christ has done for them and how they can have peace with God. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's just stand quietly to our feet this morning. The piano's just going to begin playing softly. Friend, if you're here this morning and you're uncertain, you say, I want to know how I can have peace with God. Just step out from where you're at. I'll meet you right down here. Just step out. Nobody else is going to be looking around. Pastor, I want to know. I want to know how I can have peace with God. I want to know how I can have that gift that God has for me of eternal life. Right now, just step out from where you are. I'm going to meet you right down here. Don't wait. He can't force you. It's got to be your choice. Christian, what are we doing with Christmas? The purpose is to glorify God. Glory to God in the highest. Praise the Lord, we've got peace with God, but goodwill toward all men. God wants everyone to be saved, not just those who are. What an opportunity we have to explain the purpose of Christmas, to share Jesus Christ with those around us who may not know. Our family, our friends, our coworkers. Will we take this opportunity? Thank you. purpose of Christmas, to glorify God? Or are we just going to still make it about us, what we want? Who have you shared about Christmas? Who have you shared Jesus with during this time that needs to know that they can have peace with God through Jesus Christ? Lord, I pray you'd work in our hearts. Lord, help us to realize, Lord, as the world just kind of focuses on Christmas, we have a great opportunity to talk about Jesus, to talk about Christmas, to talk about the purpose, to bring glory to God in the highest. Lord, help us to glorify you in our lives. Help us to share Jesus Christ with others that they might know how they can have peace with God. Lord, help us to take the opportunities that we have, no matter where it is, no matter what it is, to glorify you in all that we do. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.